Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Many years before my first business trip this year, my first business activity in 2022 was attending the CES at Las Vegas, Nevada. The show in 2021 was canceled. It was fully digital. Was nothing happening due to the pandemic in Nevada. And this year again, they made a show, and it was a very different show, different from any other show. And this is what I will talk about in this episode of the Human Technology Podcast. I booked my travels, all the flights and the hotels and the rental car late September when the overall situation was pretty optimistic. Everybody believed, yes, it will be possible. We will have a show in Las Vegas and it will happen. And then mid-late December, Omicron came up, and with that, the cancellations of some of the big players and many of the smaller players started. So companies like Amazon canceled it, GM canceled it, Continental canceled it, Mercedes made a short-term stop, and so many of them just didn't show up, Amazon as well. Others reduced their presence in Las Vegas. I made the decision to travel, though, and I'm super happy to summarize this already. It was a great decision to do this. It was a good decision to do this, and I flew into Los Angeles as I usually do, and pick up my rental car there. Then I have a beer and a burger, and I sleep there and wake up at local time, 2 a.m. in the morning, heavily under jet lag, and get into the car and start driving to Las Vegas, which is at that early morning time a four and a half hours trip. And I arrived at around 6:37 at Las Vegas. Picked up my batch, and the batch pickup is usually a pretty exhausting and time-consuming experience when you go to the CES. This year it was totally different. They had special pickup places for people that did not have a U.S. American vaccination proof, and so me with my German Corona app. I went to the Mandalay Bay, and I expected huge lines there, tons of people waiting to pick up first their okay from the health point of view, and then second their conference badge. When I arrived there, there was a huge infrastructure, everything prepared for hundreds of people coming in, and there were only a handful when I came there. So, showing my Corona QR code, receiving a self-testing kit, and my badge was an exercise of clearly under 10 minutes at that time. So, usually that eats up an hour very, very often. So, first indicator that this CES may be very different from all the years before. The number of exhibitors dropped from 4,500 in 2020 to 2,200, more than 50% this year. The visitors dropped from 170,000 to 40,000, so it was less than a quarter of the normal attendance that the CES had this year. And this, of course, has consequences. So the most obvious one is that there was a lot of empty room in the exhibition halls. For those companies that didn't show up, that canceled short-term, they just didn't do anything. I mean, there was just an open space where the booth was supposed to be. And some of them were filled with sofas and chairs and stand-up tables and bar chairs so that you could sit there and meet people. Very convenient. But yeah, it was a lot of empty room there. That was the most obvious impression that you had. The situation with a lower number of exhibitors and visitors has a couple of clear advantages. It's this additional space that you have. It is the additional time that the people at the booths had. So I had the chance at some of the booths really to stand there and to talk, to get really deeply into discussions, to learn from these companies, to learn what they do, what their ideas are, because sometimes 20 minutes, 30 minutes was no problem to grab some of the high-level people that were on the booth and to discuss with them. Plus the fact that the low attendance clearly reduced the waiting lines. So in front of foot stalls and at the monorail, the public transport system at Las Vegas, no waiting lines. At the safety security controls were before getting onto the exhibition center, into this epic exhibition center, there was zero waiting time. So all that with a big advantage and totally different to all the years before. Disadvantages, of course, a lower number of people means less accidental meetings somewhere in the hallways. And all the past years when I walked through the automotive hall, somebody tapped on my shoulder and said, "Hey, Peter, how are you and what's going on?" And you had a good quick chat there, or maybe even a longer one. You updated each other's, and that happened at least 10, 12 times a day. And this didn't happen a single time this year. I mean, I had my scheduled meetings. I scheduled quite a few up front, and they all took place, and everybody was comparably relaxed. Again, an advantage, but this disadvantage of not meeting, running into people and not talking to them, that was a huge one. And of course, since many exhibitors, including some of the real big players, were missing, a lot of technology was missing, a lot of the attention on the show and the attention, all of that was missing. And so, yeah, it had advantages, but also clear disadvantages that the attendance was so low and that many, many of the exhibitors dropped out. There were two more innovations compared to 2020 that were not related to the pandemic. The first one was the opening of the West Hall. It was supposed to be introduced last year, where the show did not happen. So it was the first time the West Hall was used for the CES. On maps, it looks like it is really adjacent to the North Hall, so just a short walk. In reality, it takes 15-20 minutes at least to walk between these two halls. It's a new hall. It looks like the old ones. I mean, I'm not an expert in architecture. From my point of view, they could have done a better job, make it look a little more convenient. But I believe, since it's a modern building, it will be much more convenient for the exhibitors. And yeah, it is okay. You can. It is an okay US level exhibition place that they built there. And before opening the West Hall, there were three big halls. That was the North Hall, the Central Hall, and the South Hall. And then they used some exhibition space in the Westgate Hotel, which is directly located at the convention center. Plus a few more in other hotels, but those are the main ones. And This year, the South Hall was closed. It was not open at all. And the Central Hall contained the usual suspects, companies from consumer electronics and gaming. The North Hall was the old Automotive Hall, which was occupied now with health, Internet of Things, smart cities, mobility exhibitors, and all the automotive, the first tiers, the second tiers, the service companies, the startups, everybody came to the new West Hall. Restructuring that event, I mean, it had been like this for many, many years. We will get used to the new locations, but the West Hall is open and it can be used. The other innovation is the Tesla tunnels. So they built a system of tunnels with, I don't know, 10 feet diameter, and where cars can drive in, and those were Tesla cars, Tesla electric cars. And this tunnel system connects the West Hall with the Central Plaza and the South Hall. So you were able to jump onto one of these Tesla cars, and then there was a super friendly driver in there, and he or she took you through this tunnel system to one of the other locations. So they have these three stops, West Hall, Central Plaza, and South Hall. And I used it a couple of times, found it extremely convenient, particularly later the day when you have been walking already quite a few miles on in the convention center and have been standing in meetings. And yeah, so it was very nice to be driven large portions of your way, even back to the monorail station to drive back to the hotel. So all of that was a very positive experience. With the 40,000 attendees, it was no problem. There were zero waiting lines. I can foresee that if we go back to the full crowd one day, we will probably face longer waiting lines there. But again, crazy idea, well done, and extremely useful. Okay, so let's talk about some of the trends out there. Talking about automotive trends or trends of the automotive industry would be totally ridiculous with many of the major players not being there. But at the end of the day, I collected a couple of trends and I will talk about them here. And at the end of the day, we will have an overview of what was shown there, but don't take it as a complete automotive trend for the next years, which was simply not possible to collect this year at the show. So the first one I want to talk about is new vehicle manufacturers. We have a good number of new OEMs out there. And since electromobility, electric drivetrains are under discussion, the idea is that there will be more OEMs since it will be easier to build a car based on an electric drivetrain compared to a combustion engine manual gear system drivetrain. And this seems to be true. This seems to turn into reality. The first I'd like to talk about is VinFast, a company from Vietnam. It seems like they have enormous amounts of money. They showed an almost complete fleet of vehicles, more than half a dozen cars ranging from big SUVs to mid-size small SUVs, small city cars. And so they had this fully electric, complete fleet there. Some of the cars looked like advanced prototypes. Others looked more like early foam block design studies. But it seems like there is a new player out there that can deliver seriously. Second one is the Turkish company Togg. I will talk about them later in more detail, but they showed a beautiful limousine, a sedan, with opposing doors. Very nice to see. Another one is Electromechanica, a company from Canada. They presented a three-wheeler, one-seater, a very small car, two wheels in the front, one in the back. And I was inside of one of these cars. You can sit there. It has the volume, the shapes, the comfort of a regular car. And even getting in and getting out is an exercise you can perform even with my size. And they have this electric car that goes up to what, 80 miles per hour, 70 miles per hour, has a range of 100 miles. So very nice vehicle that may be used in urban areas. So cool one. I really liked it. And then just to mention one more, it's Indy EV, a company from Los Angeles, showing a midsize SUV. More like a show car prototype level, not even a prototype level, more a show car level. Interesting. One of these examples where I say, okay, you can use the existing platforms and make pretty easy your own car out of this and bring it to the market. Much more easier than with combustion engines. Second trend is micromobility. That is one that is so obvious. You can see these stand-up scooters, the scooters you can sit on, e-bikes, all of that. This inner urban micromobility, many different exhibitors, different concepts that they have, different kinds of sales and marketing activities they do, different kinds of connectivity. So pretty cool to see this, and this is definitely a trend that you should keep an eye on. The next one is software ecosystems. We're all aware that we have this digitization trend, the connectivity trend, all mega trends running, changing our lives on a disruptive level. The complete networking. So there were very different companies showing different solutions on that one, on different levels. And one example, Hyundai Mobis, the Korean automotive first-tier supplier, they showed a couple of micro-mobility devices like the Electromechanica, small autonomous devices. And before entering the booth, you could create your own digital avatar that was then running through moving in this digital environment that they built there on their screens. So software ecosystems, definitely a trend. The same is with the charging infrastructure. Charging electric vehicles is moving at the moment away from just put a wall box on the wall or just place a charging station somewhere. It is moving on into smart AI-driven infrastructure. It is about when to charge, where to charge, how to charge, how much to charge. All of that, plus that it is, it is a network that is built around this. In some cases, I cannot see serious use cases, but I definitely believe, yes, this is part of a future trend that we will have these connected charging stations and that the entire infrastructure will connect to get additional services and more comfort out of the entire procedure. Then another one that I already saw 2 years ago is LIDAR sensors. That's basically like a radar sensor, but based on light. It seems like they're on the rise at the moment. They have a couple of advantages. They have a very high resolution, even over larger distances. So if you have an object 50, 60 meters away, you can still use a few centimeters resolution. You can get out of this. And you have 3D measurements, and you also have 4D measurements. So the fourth dimension here is the speed. So if you detect an object, you can detect the location of the object, the shape, the form of the object, but also the speed of the object, which is one of the advantages that LIDAR has. Disadvantages are it's still pretty expensive, and it is weather dependent. So if it's raining, you will have problems with your leader senses. My takeaway from this is it will be a core part of sensors in cars, in ADAS-driven cars with advanced driver assistance systems. But it will not be the only sensor. So we have groups of sensors like cameras and radar and lidar combined, maybe ultrasonic. All those have advantages and disadvantages, and if we want to go that path, we will need to merge them and to use the information that they give to combine all the output that we get from them. And the last one on the trends that I see is a non-trend, is a trend I did not see, which makes me a bit sad because there is nothing new in automotive HMIs. There is one exception, the Quartz Smart Surfaces. I will talk about them later. But all in all, still we have large displays. Some of them are one-piece displays from A pillar to A pillar. Others are like more fragmented, so that you have one display for the cluster instrument, another one for the infotainment, and maybe one for the passenger. Maybe you have a second level display below the other one. But that seems to be the trend at the moment. Put as many displays, as much display real estate as you can into a vehicle, and then see what happens afterwards. Some products, some companies, some things that I found outstanding during this CES show. The first one, Torc Auto. Torc is a company from Turkey, a Turkish company run by a former Bosch top manager. They collected a couple of high potentials and many, many old warriors out of the automotive industry to get this company on the wheels, to get the cars on the wheels. They showed this beautiful sedan with the opposed doors and large HMI display in it. The main idea of Torc is seeing the car as a node in the Internet of Things. So it's a rolling part of the Internet. So the entire philosophy is software driven. The entire philosophy is community driven. So if you drive a Torc, you can exchange with other drivers of that brand. You can even exchange energy with them. So if you're a lone battery and somebody else with a full battery with a Torc car stops beside you can get some energy from him or her. And it's all about networking, technical networking, business networking. It's about user networking. So booth staff told me they will have the car out there in 2 or 3 years from now. I'm really looking forward to this. And because they see it in a different way, they have a different approach than many others of them. And it seems like they have both sufficient funding and professional experience collected together. The second one I would like to talk about is a BMW iX that was covered with a foil made out of e-ink technology. You will know e-ink if you have an e-book reader. So these grayish displays with the black letters on it, where that have this super high contrast, independent from the illumination conditions. So if you're sitting in bright sunlight, you can read it, and if you're in darkness, you can still read it. One of the reasons, by the way, why I love my e-book reader, why I'm more or less gave up reading paper books, so I'm reading e-books only. And yeah, you have the super high contrast. And what BMW did is they turned this technology into a flexible foil and stick that onto a top, onto the surface, onto the outside of a car. And what they showed was more just like a artsy bit, like, I don't know, flying clouds or some shades going over the car. So nothing concrete, but my HMI brain started working right away when I saw this technology. So I mean, we can use this as external HMIs, for example, the car communicating to pedestrians or bicycle drivers just by signaling, hey, I will stop at the traffic light, I will stop at the pedestrian crossover. So you can go, it's safe to do so, or it can be used as big indicators. I make a right turn now, please be careful. All of this, plus that it can be used as information for ride sharings. So if a shuttle stops in front of me, it says, yes, Peter, it's your shuttle, we are taking this way, enter this one and get into it. So there are use cases, and also use cases in commercials. So if I walk on a street and I see one of these cars and the car detects me, it says, hey, Dr. Peter, we know you are a sushi fan. If you turn left at the next junction, there is the best sushi place in town. And if you use the promo code 1234, you will get 10%, whatever, you know, all this will be possible if you have the exterior of cars talking to the environment. And this e-ink technology could be a pretty cool device to do so. Another highlight was the company from Israel, from Tel Aviv, called RE. They created an electric vehicle platform. Basically, it is the four corners of a car. So they have a wheel, they have braking systems, suspension, an electric engine in there, and they combine all this into one component. And if you take four of them, plus an electric computing box and data transmitting platform, then you have the basics for an electric car. They partner with Magna on batteries and chassis so that you can get your skateboard, your platform, customized to your needs. So based on this platform, you can build a small people mover, you can build a mid-size SUV, whatever you want to. And I can see, I mean, RE were not the only ones, but the most prominent ones. With these skateboards, with these platforms, it will become possible that we go back to what we had 100 years ago, these so-called coach businesses, that you have a platform you buy, and then you make your own toppings on the you make your own seats, your own exteriors and interiors of the vehicle on top of an existing platform. So I can foresee that company fleets, that professional fleets, that delivery fleets will get these platforms, like for example the RE platform, and build their own cars on top of that for their specific use cases, for branding, for whatever is possible with that. Yes, and another, let's say, only real HMI excitement, the only exciting exhibit I saw on HMIs, related to HMIs, to human-machine interfaces, was the smart surfaces technology of a company called Kurz. They are based near Nuremberg in Germany. And what they did is they took a couple of Swarovski crystals, used them as hard keys, and then if you pressed one of these hard keys, the entire surface, and the demonstrator was a small dashboard, so the entire dashboard becomes touch sensitive, and then you can fine-tune things, like for example what they had was the volume, they had the light, the color of the light, the brightness of the illumination of the piece. But you can basically tune everything with this. And so they have this Swarovski component elements device to pre-select, and then to fine-tune, you can use the surface of the part you are touching. And they had different different devices with different haptics. There was a smoother one, there was a rougher one. So very, very interesting technology. I really like it a lot. And my HMI brain is already working on how we can use that, what we can do with this. All right, at the end, I'm always thinking about which was the coolest booth on the entire show. And this year it was a pretty easy decision because there was not too much competition in this one. I mean, the LG booth usually is in the on the short list, but this year it was just empty, and they had a couple of wooden cubes there with QR codes on top, and then you could scan these QR codes and learn about the exhibits that should have been there. And I mean, compared to what they usually have with these huge screen arrays with the bent and curved screens, and I mean, that was a pretty poor appearance. Pretty much the same for Panasonic. Sony, big disappointment. Sony is always a very cool booth. Tons of products and packed with technologies and cool things. This year, they had two cars there and a couple of screens and a bit of PlayStation stuff. And all that on a huge area they had there on many square feet. Definitely not appealing anyhow. So the winner is coolest booth BMW again. So not the first time this year. It's always pretty cool, but this year it was a clear no-brainer to nominate them. They had this e-ink car in front, and inside they showed their vision on 1D, 2D, 3D, and 4D. Mobility of the future. Interactive, you could stand in front of huge screens and move around and interact with the screen content. Not that there was real technological or mobility or automotive content in this, but it was a beautiful piece of modern art. It was interactive, it was appealing. Yeah, and plus the fact that behind the booth there was a terrace, and they had coffee, they served water and candy, they had sofas there, you could sit there, you could meet people. I had a couple of business meetings there. Also enjoyed sitting in the sun behind the booth. So it was a very convenient one, and definitely, due to the low competition, a no-brainer to nominate BMW to the best booth of the CES 2022. All right, to summarize this, the show had shrunk a lot. It was far smaller than before, but at the end of the day, it was worth being there for me. So, I mean, it was possible to see. It is possible to travel. It is possible to run a show like this. I mean, in a few weeks from now, we will know whether the corona regulations they had were sufficient, or if the CES 2022 was a super spreading event. So we will find out about this. But basically, for me, it was important to learn it is possible. Plus the fact that I love to be at Las Vegas. I love the city. And great, great, great to do the travel. The second point of the summary is the HMI innovations were low. Probably because some of the big players in that area were missing on the show. I mean, Conti is always having cool stuff, just like others, EF and even Amazon and some of the automotive OEMs. Mercedes is always very active in the human machine interface area. They had not been present, so that was missing, painfully missing. And the third one is, what about next year? The date for 2023 is blocked in my calendar. I hope that we will have again a live event, that we will meet at Las Vegas. My personal belief is it will take at least 2 or 3 years to return back to the level of 2020. I will make a statement here. So in 2025, we will be back on the level of 2020. Until then, we will have hybrid events with lower on-site presence, both of exhibitors and of visitors. If you enjoyed the Human Technology Podcast, why not recommending it to a couple of persons in your network? The more people listen to it, the more people will get my messages, the more people get the chance to get into my thoughts and my way of thinking. And a nice side effect is the more people listen to it, the higher it will be ranked on the respective platforms. And the even more people have the chance to listen to the Human Technology Podcast. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.